Tonight, as we continue to study the names of God, we want to consider the next name on our list, the name Jehovah Mikdash, meaning the Lord or Jehovah who sanctifies. That name is found for us in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 8. And I'm going to invite you to turn there with me for a moment. Leviticus chapter 20. Verse 7 and 8, we read these words. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Tonight we want to consider together that name, Jehovah Mikdash, that name that is significant for us to consider and understand. Before we go any further, though, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time, and then we'll consider these thoughts together this evening. Lord, we come before you now, and as we gather before thy word, I pray that you would use it to teach us and to help us to see who you are, that we would understand that you are the Lord who sanctifies, and what that means in relation to you, in relation to us. And Father, I pray that you'd bless our time of study together. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Leviticus 20, verse 8. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. This name, Jehovah Mikdash, is significant in the progression of God's revelation of himself to his people. It's interesting, as we study these names together, they're being studied as they are found in the Word of God. And it's interesting the progression that we find here. In order to see the true significance of this progression, we want to take a moment and just review the names as they've been given to us in the order so far. When we come to the study of the names of God, we first come to the book of Genesis, that book of beginnings. And in the book of Genesis, we find the beginning of sin. But we also then find God's subsequent provision for man's greatest need. Right away, we find man falling from the one command that God has given. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and man does. But immediately God provides a way of salvation. He immediately meets the need of mankind. Then as we come through the book of Genesis, we're introduced to the man Abraham. Through Abraham, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And at the climax of Abraham's life, there is the revelation of the first name that we have considered, the name Jehovah Jireh. There is this great problem for man. There is a need because of sin. And God reveals himself to Abraham, the father of the faithful, that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. The great need of man is the need of sin, the need of salvation. And it is Jehovah Jireh who provides. Let me ask you this question tonight. What's the context that that name is given in? What's the story? That's right. The Lord supplied the ram and saved Isaac's life. So through the sacrifice of another, Isaac was spared. And so we see the sacrifice that would come. And it's the Lord who provides for man's need, who is facing death. As we come to Exodus, we find God redeeming his people from their bondage through the Passover lamb, a symbol of the true Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world and God's people. As Israel travels from Egypt to the Promised Land, they learn that God was Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals from all of life's bitter experiences. They came to the waters of Marah. They were bitter, unable to drink, and God would reveal himself as the God who heals, The God who is able to take away the bitter experiences of life as we journey from redemption to the promised land. Next, God revealed Himself to His people as Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord who is their banner. It was to Him that Israel was to look for their victories against the enemies who had determined that they would deter them from God's blessing. Now, you and I have an enemy. And Satan's desire is to deter you from God's blessing. He brings to you temptation and trial that you might walk away from that which would bring you blessing. But as we keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord, who is our banner, we are assured the victories in Christ. Now we come to the book of Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus, we find the Lord establishing order in worship and showing His people the necessity of a proper walk and the proper life before a holy God. If you were to ask what the key word in the whole book of Leviticus is, it is that word, holy or holiness. And throughout this entire book of Leviticus, God is revealing His desires for worship. He is setting things in order, and He is telling men how they may approach unto Him who is holy. And in this context, He reveals Himself to us as Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. It's important that you and I keep these revelations in their proper order. And remember that there can never be reformation without there first being regeneration. Redemption is the prerequisite of sanctification. Why do we say that? Because many today, by the means of religion, try to reform the sinner when the need is regeneration and redemption. There are some wonderful things that we are able to do as we can minister to the physical needs of others. But the problem that so many have today is we want to focus on the physical, forgetting the spiritual, in the name even of religion. But folks, there is never reformation without regeneration. You can spend your time and money and go to a psychologist and they will try to reform you. But without Jesus Christ, there will never be meaningful change. There has to first be a new life in Christ before there can really be any meaningful change. And so as we understand how God is revealing Himself, He reveals Himself first as the God who provides for man's needs. He helps us in the areas of our life. He removes the bitternesses of life and those difficult trials that we go through. He is our banner to whom we can look, for He will sanctify His people. We need to keep those things in their proper order. Man is saved unto good works. Man is never saved by good works. Consider with me then the meaning of sanctification. The term sanctify occurs frequently throughout the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, the word, the Hebrew word for sanctified, you'll see it also translated in our English Bibles by words like dedicate, consecrate. It is translated as the sanctuary, as hallow and holy, and even the Holy One. The various forms of this Hebrew word are found over 700 times in the Old Testament. And the basic meaning behind all these various forms is simply this. Sanctify means to set apart or to separate. To set apart or to separate. Throughout the book of Leviticus, God is going to reveal to His people that they were to be distinct from all other people because of their relationship to Him, Jehovah. It is God who sanctifies, and the word simply means that God sets apart, God separates, and He has called out a people, Israel. And He has shown to them through this book that He desires that they be distinct from all others. They had a personal relationship with Him, Jehovah. And may I remind you of this? Only to Israel was He known as Jehovah. To all the other nations, He was Elohim, the Almighty. But to Israel, He revealed Himself by His very personal name. And because of that personal relationship with Jehovah, there was a call for them to be distinct from all other people. Therefore, we find in Leviticus 20, verse 7, that they were to set themselves apart and to be holy. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. He calls for His people to set themselves apart and be holy. As we continue on through the book of Leviticus in chapter 22, He says that the priests were to be separated unto the Lord. You know, as Israel came into the promised land, there was one tribe that was not given any possession, the Levites. They were set apart. They were distinct from all others. They had a separate purpose. And as you go through Leviticus 22, God tells them how they are to separate themselves unto His work and how they are to treat those things which are holy, that they not defame them. And He calls for the priests to be set apart, to be sanctified. In chapter 23, the Lord begins to set apart some feasts that are to be holy convocations of the people. By the way, it's very interesting that each of those feasts points in some way to the Lord Jesus Christ and His work upon this earth and His reign. It's a wonderful study. But in chapter 23, the Lord sanctifies, or He sets apart these days and these feasts. In chapter 25, He sets apart the year of Jubilee. That year of Jubilee, which was a time in which liberty would be proclaimed unto all. It was the 50th year. And it was to be remembered as a time of liberty. All debts on that year were wiped clean. Everyone was set free, were placed at liberty. The name Jehovah Makedesh, like no other name, truly for us expresses the character of God and the requirement of His people. The Lord Jehovah is holy, and as such He requires that His people walk in holiness. As you consider this name Jehovah Makedesh, I want us to see, first of all, how it relates to the character of God. This revelation of God reveals to us that the most impressive and the most fundamental of all of God's attributes is His holiness. When you come through a study of the Old Testament, what you are left to understand is this thought: God is holy. From Genesis through Malachi, that truth is the primary thing that God wants to communicate. He is a holy God. And that's what He reveals. And folks, I believe with all my heart that we can say it this way: God's holiness is His primary attribute. It is that which regulates every other attribute that He has. And God wants us to know Him as a holy God. And as you come through the book of Leviticus, you will be impressed with the fact that God is holy. You will see foundational to His character is His holiness. And this book reveals to man how he is to walk before a holy God. It's interesting, the prophet Isaiah, who was so blessed to see the throne of God, and there he saw God in His holiness. His favorite term for God throughout all of his book is the Holy One. And it should be. He who saw God in his holiness, and he saw the seraphim too, by the way, were pure and holy beings before a holy God. And those seraphims would not even look upon a holy God, for with two of their six wings they covered their face. God is a God of impressive holiness. That character trait God wants us to see and understand. And as the Holy One, Jehovah is set apart from all and is above all in the universe. Truly, there is none like Jehovah. He is the Holy One. When you consider this name, the Lord who sanctifies, we are reminded of the very holiness of God. See some of the scriptures with me that help us to see that he is set apart from all others because of his holiness. They're listed there for you. Deuteronomy 4, verse 35. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord Jehovah, he is God. There is none else beside him. Verse 39 of the same chapter says, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. And besides me there is no God. Isaiah 45. Beginning in verse 21, it says, tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let all them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. You come through the Old Testament and you consider God and his holiness, we realize there is none like unto him. There is none greater than our God. In the holiness of God, we also find his glory and his beauty. Exodus 15, verse 11 says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. In his holiness, we see the glory of God, glorious in holiness. Revelation 15, verse 3 and 4 says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Because he is holy, we see him in his glory. It sets him apart from all other beings. There is none like unto God. I love the words of Psalm 27, verse 4. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know what David says? I want to see the Lord. And I want to spend my time in his temple. Interesting. The word temple in the Old Testament is the word, and you'll see it listed there for you, Mikdash. It's akin to the word Mikdash. The word temple simply means that sanctuary, that place set apart for worship. And David says, listen, I am coming to that place that is holy, set apart to God, that I might behold the beauty of my Lord. There is none like unto our God. He is the Lord who sanctifies. He is a God who is holy above all else. There is none like unto Him. But as we see the character of God, we must also relate and understand the requirements of the people. Because God is holy, we too are to be holy. Because He is the Lord who sanctifies, we ourselves must sanctify ourselves and be holy. For He is holy. Peter is going to pick up this thought right here in Leviticus chapter 20. And he's going to quote it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. That we're to be holy in all manner of conversation. Why? We are to be holy, for He is holy. We have a responsibility to sanctify ourselves. We understand that Jehovah is a God who sanctifies because He Himself is holy. Then we must also understand that we must be holy. Nathan Stone, in his book, The Names of God, states this: a God separate from all that is evil, too pure to behold evil, the very antithesis of all evil, requires that the people He chooses be also separated from all evil and separated to the purpose for which He chose them. God requires that we be sanctified, that we be holy. The term sanctified requires that we as God's people be separated from all evil, and that we'd also participate in the nature of God's holiness. There's a positive and a negative side, folks, to holiness and sanctification. Simply stated, we must not only refuse to do certain things, but we must choose also to do others. And that has to be true in every area of life. In order to be holy, there are some things that we must refuse. And in order to be holy, there are some things that we must choose to do. Failure to do either one hurts our process of sanctification. Just because we say, I got rid of this, that, or the other in our life, but we refuse to obey in other areas of life, is not living in that process of sanctification. Sanctification requires both. There are things I may not do, and there are things I am called also to do. God's holiness demands it. Every sin must be rooted out, and every command must be obeyed. Sometimes when folks get saved, what they focus on at first, and rightfully so, are all those things in their life that were evil. You could describe it this way. It's the big boulders of sin in their yard. But you know, if you want to have a productive plot of soil to have a garden, you got to get rid of the smaller stones and pebbles as well. Okay, you cleared the big boulders, and that's good enough. Now, you know what? There's other little things, too, that we've got to take our time to kind of pick through and get at and do. Why? Because God is holy. And He demands that His people be holy. Consider the words of Leviticus 18, verse 3 through 5. Here's what God said to His people. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, ye shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. See the negative? Here's the positive. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. Why? I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord, Jehovah. Holiness requires that we forsake certain things of this world and accept the statutes and ordinances of Almighty God. You and I have to learn to trust in the Lord who sanctifies. What a blessing it is to know that He which hath begun a good work in us will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord who sanctifies. You come to your New Testament and you're going to find Romans, which tells us of His justification. He saves. Following Romans is 1st and 2nd Corinthians, which talks to us of the God that sanctifies. That's the key concept of the books of Corinthians, sanctification. He wants us to be sanctified, to be pure, to be holy. He began a work in us on the day we were saved, and He desires to complete it in us. Let me leave you with these words from John Newton. I found this today as I was doing some study and some extra reading, and I appreciate it, what he said. I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I, thank God, am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Folks, all of us fit into that statement. We aren't who we're supposed to be. We're not all that we probably wished we would be or hoped we would be, but we're not what we once were. We are what we are by the grace of God, and we can trust in the God who sanctifies. Let Him do His work in you. That's what God wanted to do through His people Israel. He had called them out to be a special people. They were called in their generation, were they not? To be a lighthouse to the nations. He had called them out as His people. And they failed to allow God to do His work in them. He writes to them an entire book, the book of Leviticus, trying to impress upon them the need of their sanctification because He is holy. He established their religion and their worship in the means of holiness and sanctification, of setting themselves apart to be distinct and different. And God wants to do that in you and me. He has saved us, He has called us, and He has set us apart. He has separated us unto Himself, and He calls us to be holy. Why? Because He alone is holy. And we're in a special relationship with Him. And because of that, God says, I require of you holiness. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Let's pray.